Yo, what is going on, Saucy Football fans? Welcome back to the show. I know it's been a while since I've been here. Happy to be back. So on today's episode, let me give you just a quick rundown of what we're going to discuss here on today's show. We're going to talk about Charlie Davies. We're going to give this man his flowers for being inducted into the Boston College Hall of Fame. We're also going to talk about the El Clasico and really dive into that game and just some of my saucy insights from it all. And then lastly, we're going to talk about the Sporting KC versus St. Louis City game that took place last night in St. Louis with my team coming out with the dub. I promise you are not going to want to miss this episode as we dive in. So let me just jump right into it. First off, I want to tell Charlie Davies, man, congratulations to you on this not small achievement at all. It is very big. It's a big deal. You should be celebrating it, as I know that you are. It's a really big deal. First off, you know, I want to highlight Charlie Davies and how he's always supported my show. Whenever I tweeted him on the Golasso show, anytime I try to interact with him about something that he said on the show or just reaching out saying, hey, he's always liked my tweets. He's always responded back to me. Charlie, to you, man, I'm thankful for all the ways that you supported me and my show. And I want to support you today by saying just a giant congratulations. And I'm just a fan of yours, and I know it doesn't mean a whole lot on the grand scheme of things as far as the achievement that you received. But fan of yours, like I said, I want to salute you and congratulate you. Please take these flowers that I'm giving you. Please accept these. And I appreciate all of the insights that you provided post your playing career, all of the commentary, all of the games you commented on, all of the opinions that you give on your show or on the Golasso show, your contributions on the Kicking It show, all of it, dude. I salute you, man, and very proud to say that I'm a fan of yours. So one more time, congratulations, bro. All right. Now that I got that going, I want to talk about the El Clasico that happened on Saturday. What a game. First off, I got to say that I haven't really watched a whole lot of La Liga soccer. And I think the general consensus really is people outside of Spain, unless you are just a diehard fan of one of those two teams, because let's not get into it, there's only two teams that really draw in people outside of Spain, unfortunately, unless you're just from there, but you don't live there anymore. But it's only Barcelona and Real Madrid that really draw the fans in on an international scale. And so when those two teams play each other, when they clash, that's a big deal. The world watches and looks in. Otherwise, we're really only tuned in to their Champions League games. But anyways, watching that game, it was incredible. I mean, from the first 5 minutes with Gundogan's goal, that terrible clearance from David Alaba, I don't know. I think they just caught those boys sleeping, or I don't really know what happened. But that was a really good goal by Gundogan, real nice heads-up goal. And it was just a big, grave mistake for Real Madrid. But unfortunately for them, it didn't cost them the game. But they didn't really look particularly well as a collective. Vinicius had his moments. Rodrigo had his moments. Tchouaméni had his moments. Valverde, he had very few moments. This is my personal opinion. I don't have the box scores and player ratings in front of me. I'm just going off of what I saw in the game. And when I'm looking at my notes, I didn't really see a whole lot of like bright spots as far as Madrid overall performing well. I actually saw Barcelona playing the better ball throughout the game. I could just highlight player after player of theirs that played well. Fermin Lopez kid, I liked him. Inigo Martinez. Who else played well? Joao Cancelo played really well. Lewandowski came on and he was, but I know he was hurt. Joao Felix, he played pretty well. I think he played better than most Madrid players, if I'm being just 100% honest. You know, overall, the matchups were good. Gundogan, I think I'm trying to pronounce it either the way that I think is proper or the way that I think is easiest to say. I can't ever really decide how I want to pronounce his name. But I'm probably just going to use them both interchangeably, so forgive me. But Gundogan, he just looked like the best player all the time when he steps out on the pitch. It's really nobody that's jacking with him. I mean, he just plays so well. I can't talk about that game without talking about Jude Bellingham's performance. What else can you say about his goals? I mean, I absolutely love his goal celebration. He just puts his arms up. There really is nothing better than that. I heard somebody say it's like the Gladiator. Are you not entertained? And yes, it is very entertaining. I will sign up for more of that every single time because that is boss level stuff. I just love watching those celebrations where ain't nobody dancing. I think maybe it's my age. I like the simple stuff. Like I've said it on the show before, like I like Mo Salah's celebration. He just stands there. And all his teammates, they're going crazy around him and he just keeps stone-faced. Like no celebration is the celebration. And it's almost more disrespectful to the team. It's like, how dare you not celebrate you scoring? That was hard. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I like Bellingham celebrations, but like I said, even watching him play as far outside of the goals, I think if he didn't score those two goals, he would have been mostly anonymous to me. Like his play didn't really jump off the screen, but there's something to be said about being in the right places at the right times and also finishing the chances that you get. Because a lot of players can't do that. Let's talk about Chelsea another time because I saw something today that was crazy, I think, with Nicholas Jackson. I think it was in the last four games, Chelsea have had 62 shots on goal and only scored, like, two. And, yikes, like I said, there's something to be said about being in the right spots at the right times and still putting away your chances. Hats off to Bellingham for just being incredible and scoring those goals. I think he really, truly is informed and hats off to him for his performance. But I want to go back to Barcelona just a little bit. And I want to talk about how they've done something incredible to me, which is they've found a way to take these youth players and then they've also found a way to take these veteran players and really mix it in a way that it's like a successful formula. Unlike Chelsea, they like to have all these younger players. And I think they want to build like this young core and give everybody these 8-year deals or these 360 deals, as my boy Aaron West likes to say, but not really incorporating like experience and youth together in a formula that makes sense. Barcelona has found a way to do that in a way that's It's incredible. I think Chelsea needs to watch them and then sort of model some things after them. But they've got 16-year-old academy players consuming serious minutes in El Clasico, in big-time games. That is nothing. That is no small feat. And clubs around the world would love to be able to do that, obviously from a labor standpoint, because 16-year-olds don't make what 23, 24, 25-year-old players make. So that's another, you know, thing to look out for as well. People, those younger guys being able to contribute the minutes that they do. And these are homegrown players. They're not going out and buying these kids. They are in their academy. La Masia, I think is Barcelona's academy is called. I was an uneducated man. I like to call it La Masia, but it's La Masia. Yeah, La Masia, I think I said it wrong again. La Masia is the place where they're getting their young talent from. And those guys are coming on and they're playing these big time roles, these big time games. So, like I said, Barcelona's got the winning formula right now as far as the youth movement is concerned. And if Chelsea really wants to do something like that, they need to take notice, but also get some more veteran talent mixed in to really make a completely successful equation. And the last thing I want to say about El Clasico, I really want to highlight the end of the game, going back to my boy Gundogan. He talked about how he wanted to see more fire, more anger, more frustration in his teammates after the loss, because it should have left a sour taste in their mouth, given how they basically lost the game in the last few minutes of the game, in the last 1 minute of the game, really, when Bellingham scored that last goal. And to a guy like him, yeah, that should have left a taste in somebody's mouth. But again, like I said, we're talking about 16, 17-year-old guys who are just learning how to be pros. They don't take these losses that personal just yet. I think it's a team culture thing. And as long as you have the veterans in the locker room that feel that way, that aren't smiling, that aren't cheering after a game, that aren't in a good mood after the game, then those guys can maybe pick up those behaviors if they're surrounded by those behaviors. But we'll see what those players turn into as far as the future goes. But I definitely wanted to point that point out as something that I consumed or wanted to highlight. And then the next thing I want to talk about, let's switch gears here. I want to talk about the Sporting KC and St. Louis City showdown that I watched last night. That was a really good game, especially if you are a Sporting KC fan, because when you look at that, Logan Ndembe scoring his first goal as a pro, and for that first goal to be as ridiculous of a shot that was, Roman Berkey actually did not stand a chance at that goal. I mean, it was a great night. My son was asleep, and I almost woke him up because I was screaming how beautiful that shot was. It was a really incredible shot, and I really derived a lot of joy from that. So I want to also give hats off to Logan and congratulate him on his first goal as an SKC player, because that was incredible and really fun to watch. Really happy to see. Yeah, but I also wanted to say, I want to emphasize that the weather also was, I think it did play more of a factor than anybody wants to admit. It was cold and it was wet, and I would have not wanted to be out there. If I had a choice, I would not have been out there. I guess I did have a choice. I could have gone to the game, but I didn't, because I know the weather was going to be disgusting. But that cold, wet weather, it played a factor. There's no doubt in my mind. But I also want to say that SKC was really dialed in. I mean, the players were locked in. There was a call early that went against Gotti King. I think it was like an out-of-bounds call. And the fire that you saw from him, obviously, if you're a coach, maybe you want to harness that in a little bit. But the fire, the anger, the frustration you saw when he knew that ball wasn't out of him. And I did feel like some of the calls weren't going our way early, but the rest ended up in the ship as we kept scoring goals. Early on, I thought that the call that against Kingdo was garbage, and I can't remember, there was something else. I think there was a couple corners that didn't go our way. It was like, what? I thought to myself, like I said out loud, what game is this ref watching? But I also want to highlight Joao Klaus. That man, I'm a believer. Like, I'm not going to abandon my squad or my team, but Joao Klaus, that dude is the real deal. But I got to say, he don't look like no Joao. He looked like a Klaus. I know he's from Brazil, but when you look at that guy with a walk in, wherever you're at, and he said his name was Joao with the little swirly thing on top of the O and the A, you'd be like, come on, dog. Your name ain't no Joao. You look like a Klaus, but not a Joao. But I think I just had to point that out. Shout outs to him. Every time he touched the ball, I was actually like, okay, what's this man going to do? Are we closing him down? Are we in the right position? And one of the things that really stood out to me about his performance was the way that he's able to generate so much power on the ball with not a lot of space. He put some strikes onto Melia with the few attempts that he did take during the game. And Melia did a really good job of stopping those shots. But at the same time, I was terrified every time that dude touched the ball, because I was hoping praying that we had an answer for it. And luckily, we did. I mean, 41 is no joke. Remy Voltaire scored a goal. Hats off to him. He did. He put something in the net. I got Ikinda's other goal was good. And I think Shallowy got the last one. Really excited to see what SKC does when we come back to Kansas City on Sunday. I'm going to see if I can get to the game. But I think I'm going to end it here. I want to thank you so much for listening to me, for watching. I hope that you subscribe to the channel. I hope that you give me some feedback here. Leave a comment. Send me a message. Tell me how you like the show. Tell me what you want to talk about. I'd love to entertain your feedback on some topics. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later.